I'm supposed to preach, so I just touched on it. Amen. But we're going to dig a little deeper here tonight. I love these verses. They're awesome. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. It said, "Now therefore, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way." Everybody say, "Show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, talking about the Lord, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18, and he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." In verse 21, the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Isn't this beautiful? There's some awesome stuff in these verses. This is written by Moses against the backdrop of one of the darkest days in the history of Israel. Moses had gone up to be with God, and the Bible said that while Moses was on Sinai talking to God, the people rose up to play. Not pray, but play. And so they somehow, now folks, remember this. After God had delivered them out of Egypt with all the plagues, and after God had divided the Red Sea, and after God had caused their enemies to drown in the sea, and they took up tambourines and danced and sang praises to God, after God had given them miraculous water out of a rock, after all of the mercies and the glories and the power and the miracles, right after Moses went up to pray, the people rose up to play. And they made themselves a golden calf, and they began to dance around that golden calf. What is it about worldly dancing that makes people want to disrobe themselves? In there, something about when people want to get free. They want to cast off moral restraint. And that's what they were doing. They fell into sexual immoralities. It was a horrible thing. God's people that he delivered in just a few days' time went from godly worship to idolatry and adultery and all kinds of horrible sins. And of course, God was angry. When Moses came down, he was angry. And then Moses talks to the people, and a group of them rose up. Aren't you glad there's always folks that stand for God? In the middle of all of that, there was a group of people that were called the Levites, from the tribe of Levi, and they didn't get into all that foolishness. And they rose up, and actually, they went in arms against those that were. And the Bible says that about 3,000 people were killed that day. Can you imagine a funeral for 3,000 of your brothers and sisters in one day? That's sobering, isn't it? And it could have been much more than that, but God is merciful. Those were just the reprobates. Those were those in whose heart God saw no repentance. And executed with the edge of a sword. It was against this backdrop that Moses, trembling, I'm sure, went up the mountain to talk with God. And as he approaches the Lord and begins to talk to him about it, Moses was still seething. I'm sure that there was a little bit of embarrassment in Moses as he stood before God that day. He didn't... How do you talk to God about something like that? How do you represent a group of people before God like that? Moses, when he gets up, one of the first things he does is, I guess he thinks that God's going to turn against him, so he automatically starts talking to God about if he's going to get rid of them, he's going to have to get rid of him too. God wasn't intended to get rid of them or him. Moses starts talking about blotting his name out, if he's going to blot their name out, and God said, I'll blot out whoever's name I get ready to. Let me tell you something about God. You don't pull any little heartstrings and you can't push any buttons on God. That's why I don't like that group of people that think faith is just how you manipulate God. They're so used to manipulating people to get what they want, they think you can manipulate God to get what you want. Let me give you some news. You can't. God is sovereign. He said, whomever I want to blot out, bless your heart, I added that, I'll blot out. Amen. I'm going to judge who I'm going to judge. I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll show grace to whom I will show grace. God is sovereign tonight, and I'm glad He is. I don't want to serve some little wimpy God. Amen. I don't want to serve some kind of God that changes every other day and something different. I want to serve the one that said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. I am Jehovah. I change not. And He gave us His book to tell us how He is. So if you want to know about God, here's the answer right here. It's in the Word. Amen. So Moses goes up and he begins to pray, and he says to the Lord, he said, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Amen. When God finds somebody that wants to know His way and know Him, He's going to teach them. One of the greatest prayers that you can ever pray is that you would know the Lord. God, I want to know You. Teach me, Jesus. A teachable spirit is something that God will never resist. If you want to know the Lord, you will know the Lord. He delights in revealing Himself and showing Himself and teaching people about Himself. So Moses says to the Lord, I want to know You. Show me Your way. And then listen to what the Lord said. He said, my presence shall go with thee. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't ask for His presence. But God said, I'm going to send it. Hallelujah. Glory. Aren't you glad for the presence of God tonight? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Now there's a presence of God, and God is omnipresent. There is no place that God is not. He's everywhere. And then there's the manifest presence of God. That's where God allows us to know that He's there. Hallelujah. God's in the movie theaters and in the beer joints and in the dance halls and everywhere else tonight. There's no place that He's not, but most likely He's not going to reveal that. However, on occasion He has. Every now and then to somebody He'll say, what in the world are you doing here? And He'll embarrass the life out of them, and they get out. But most of the time, if you want to find the Lord, you're not going to find Him at Joel's place. You might find Him at Joel's place. Amen. You know, Joel chapter 2, verse 2, and chapter 2, verse 28. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. You'll find them at Joel's place, but not at Joel's place. Amen. And so when you come into the house of the Lord, you're going to find the presence of the Lord. Amen. And if you couldn't feel the presence of the Lord here tonight, you need to get your feeler fixed. Amen. So when you begin to want to know the Lord, He will reveal His presence to you. And so when the Lord said, I'm going to go with you, listen to what Moses said. I love this. Verse 16, he said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? Can you hear the excitement in his voice? He said, you're going with us? You're going to go still? After all this, you're still going to go with us? And listen to this next. I love this part right here. Moses said, so shall we be separated. Everybody say separated. I am thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. He said, there's going to be something different about us. Hallelujah. We're going to be separated because the Lord is with us. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, once you know God and His presence, it's going to separate you for the rest of your life. Amen. I'm not saying that it's impossible for a person to backslide, but I've known folks out on the dance floor and all of a sudden that presence show up and they'd feel, what in the world am I doing here? Amen. Sitting on a bar stool somewhere and that presence show up and they say, what in the world am I doing here? One young man was in a pig pen and he said, what in the world am I doing here? He said, even the servants in my father's house have more than enough. I will arise and go to my father. Amen. I'm telling you, once you know his presence, there's nothing like it in all this world. It calls to separate ourselves. Now, I don't mean that in a prideful way, and I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but I mean that in an attitude of gratitude. We should never be arrogant that we know the Lord. We should be thankful that we know the Lord. It should humble us that we know the Lord. Does that humble you to know Him? It does me. Amen. I think often of what he said. He said, you've not chosen me. I have chosen you. I've heard people say, I'll come to the Lord when I get ready. How? How are you going to find me? You don't just make up your mind to find God. Amen. He has to come to you. He reveals himself you. He makes His presence known to you. It's not your decision. It's not your time. It's in His time. And it's in His revelation. So God comes to us in His time. And so He said, we're going to separate ourselves. Hallelujah. We're going to follow you. We're going to be, not anybody in the world going to be like us. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody here feel like that tonight? Yeah, I feel special tonight because you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now Moses, he's feeling his oats right now, I'm telling you. He's really feeling good. Look at verse number 18. And he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm really feeling good right now. Amen. I know your presence. I know your name. Now show me your glory. Amen. You should never be satisfied until you see the glory of God. That's awesome stuff. It's powerful to see the presence of God. But it's incredible to see the glory of God. Not everybody gets to see the glory. Amen. There's a few people that saw, but not a lot of people get to see the glory of God. Amen. He said, let me see your glory. And I love this. I love very much what the Lord said. It's so awesome. Verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. And if there's a place by him, shouldn't we be seeking it? Isn't that great? I love that, Brother Neil. There's a place by me. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't really care if I ever get to stand by a rock star. Could care less. We were on what do you call those things? A tram going up Masada in Israel. And there was a group of people on there, and there was a lady on the tram, and wasn't really, she was with us, but she hadn't been in the church very long, and she got all excited. And after we got up there, she started saying, "Do you know who that is?" "Yeah, I don't know who that is." She said, that's Rock Hudson. How many know who Rock Hudson? It's okay to raise your hand. You don't have to be embarrassed. I'm not telling on you here. These are horrible questions asked in Pentecostal church. But what I'm trying to illustrate is probably most young people don't even know who he is. And you see, my generation knows who he was. He was the heartthrob of a generation. He was the hunk of our day. Amen. He was something else. And in his time, everybody cooed and awed because Rock Hudson. And now we got young people don't know who he is. You see how fickle fame is? Amen. People. You know what? One of the saddest things is I was listening one time on the radio, and this guy was singing about, oh yeah, that's what it was, 16, and the guy's in his 70s. Trying to recall the glory. That was his one hit, I guess. And here he is 50 years later singing about it. Amen. But I guarantee the effect was different. His audience wasn't the same. It wasn't squealing girls. It was, well, you know what it was. Fame is so fleeting. And yet the Lord said, there's a place by me. Hallelujah. Don't be satisfied with anything else in this world, but understand tonight that there's a place by him to ascend and seek that place. Nothing else is like that. Amen. I remember J.T. Pugh, or Brother J.T. Pugh, giving a testimony one time. And he talked about how he went to the White House with a group of ministers, and they had a meal with the President of the United States of America, and he shook all their hands, and he got an autograph photo taken with the President, all kinds of glorious honors and things like that. He said, and you know what? He said, I very seldom ever remember the time I spent with the President of the United States. He said, but there's hardly a day that ever passes that I don't go back in my memory. Decades ago, he said, I was in Rising Star, Texas, and he said, the Lord to the cow lot, and he said, I got to praying out there in that warm sand in East Texas or West Texas, and as I got down and began to pray, he said, the presence of the Lord came down. Amen. And I said, Lord, he said, Lord, if you'll stay with me, he said, I'll stay here all night long. And the Lord said, I will if you will. And he said, I spent the night in that old cow lot just talking to the Lord. He said, I don't think about the President very often. He said, but I never forgot that night that I spent in a cow lot, and the Lord spent the whole night with me, and we spent a special time together. And he said, I never forgot that. That's what I'm talking about tonight. There is a place, Him, that you can go to. There are those tonight here in this building. You've had experiences like that. There have been times you got in and you didn't want to go. Brother Neil, that's what you're talking about tonight. You get to praising, you get to worshiping, and you just don't want to go. You want to stay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are services that you don't ever want to, don't want to say amen. You don't want to walk out the door because there's a place by Him. Amen. And that's what He's a place by me. He said, thou shalt stand upon a rock and it shall come to pass. Glory, there it is, my glory. Everybody say, my glory passeth by. That I will put my hand, and I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and shall cover thee my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. And so the Lord said, He said, I'm going to put you in a special place and I'm going to cover you. Amen. Have you ever felt that covering in your life? Brother Neil, that's what happened to you yesterday. Fear gripped your heart and you called out to the Lord and He reached out and just covered you. Anybody ever felt that before? Have you in moments of weakness and moments of fear and you just called to the Lord and something happened? Peace came down. Amen. My sweet little mom right here in Athens some years ago got a horrible telephone call. My brother, just less than 3 years older than I am, died of a heart attack when he was 36 years old. First of my mother's children to pass. And when she heard that, she said she just began to shake and tremble, and her body went into convulsions and shaking, and she couldn't control herself. And Brother Davis, as soon as he got the news, came over to her house and laid his hands on her, began to pray for her, and that the Lord just covered her. And from that time forth, kind of grief never came upon her again. That's the covering of the Lord. Thank God for His covering tonight. Aren't you glad that God can cover us?
Yes, sir.
I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever you think you've got more than you can handle, God will cover you. He'll put you in that place and He'll cover you. And He'll make sure that you're all right. Amen. And when God covers for you, you're all right. Don't matter what you face. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. When God covers you, you know that it's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right because God is covering you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I could go on there, but I need to hurry along. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah saw the Lord. And it was in a troublesome time. The king, Uzziah, good king of Israel, had just passed on. But he said, I saw also, if I say also, the Lord. You see, it's okay to see trouble. It's okay to see sorrow. It's okay to identify these things. But in seeing those things, be sure that you also see the Lord. Don't just see your troubles. You see, that's why folks get in trouble. Is because all they can see is their trouble. But you've also got to also see the Lord. And here it is. When you see Him, it'll always be like this. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Everybody say sitting. Sitting upon a throne. He wasn't pacing back and forth. He wasn't wringing His hands. His face was not twisted with worry and anxiety. He wasn't saying, what we going to do, what we going to do, what we going to do. Amen. No, He was sitting on His throne. Amen. You know why He's sitting on His throne? Because it is finished. He has completed His work. And all things will follow the plan and the pattern that He has established, and He's done everything that He can do. Amen. So it would be good for you, instead of wringing your hands and pacing the floors, to look up like Isaiah did and see the Lord sitting on His throne, high and lifted, and filled the temple. What in the world is that talking about? Maybe we could understand it like this. When you see a bride coming down the aisle, and that big old thing following behind her, we call that a train. Amen. And some of them are real fancy, you know. They got somebody up there holding them up, you know. It's a train. In Bible times, kings had they had long robes with a big train. And the longer the train, the greater the king. And I've read some commentators say that every time they conquered an enemy, they'd add some more to their train. And the Bible said of the Lord that His train filled the temple. Hallelujah. What He's saying is, I've never lost a battle. Hallelujah. And the second line is, He ain't a gonna. Amen. He will always win. Bible said His enemies are beneath His feet. Amen. And then He said, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The Hebrew language does not have, its grammatical structure is not like ours. And so it doesn't have words like greatest and loveliest and bestestestest. I made that one up in case you couldn't tell. Amen. It doesn't have superlatives, or at least a superlative is not expressed by EST on the end. A Hebrew superlative is made by repeating the word. Jesus said, verily, verily. He said, truthfully, truthfully. In other words, it was a superlative. He was saying it's the truth, and it's real truth. And so the greatest of the superlatives was if you could say something, if a Hebrew said it three times, that was as great as it could get. So when He said, holy, 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 He's saying, you are the holiest. You can't get any more holy than this. This is as holy as you can get. This is as high as you can get. This is as glorious as you can get. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the Lord God of hosts means He's the Lord of everything and everybody. Amen. He's the Lord of every army, whether they want Him to be or not. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I want you to get this last part. It said, the earth is full of His glory. Everybody say, the earth. That's where we live, right? Isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. If careful, we'll say the whole earth is full of trouble. The whole earth is full of sorrow. The whole earth is full of difficulties. But if you can get up there where the seraphim are, and you get in a place of praise, and you see His holiness, and you glory, and you see His power, you also will be singing, the whole earth is full of His glory. Hallelujah. You're either going to see problems or you're going to see glory. Hallelujah. Amen. It just depends on what you're looking for. Amen. But the seraphim said, woo, all we can see is glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can see problems. It's okay, problems. But you got to see glory also. Amen. That's how you're going to make it, folks. You got to keep seeing the glory. Amen. Times are hard. Amen. But God is harder. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how difficult it's going to get, God's going to get me through. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said the whole earth is full of His glory. Amen. And the post of the door moved. Now, that would almost be scary. We were told when we went to Columbia that when you had an earthquake, the best place to do is just run over like this right here and get under a door. Because this is supposed to be the strongest part of the structure right here. Amen. It's got more support. So you get over here in the strong place. But the seraphim's mouth was shaking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's glory and God's power was shaking the post. Hallelujah. It wasn't coming down because He was holding it up. But it was moving. Amen. Let me tell you, when you see the glory of God, things start moving for you. Hallelujah. Things start changing for you. You start answers. Amen. You start having hope. You start having peace. The joy of the Lord begins to bubble up even while you're in trouble still. The posts are moving. And then he said, and the smoke filled all the house. What's that? That's from the incense. But there's going to be one altar that's left. In the Old Testament, there were three altars. There was a brazen altar. And that was for sin sacrifices. You get to heaven, there's only one sacrifice, and that's already been offered. There's not going to be any more need for sacrifice. Jesus is the only acceptable sacrifice. Not going to be any need for any other altars up there. You're not going to need the table bread of shoe bread. You're not going to need the golden candlestick. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one altar is going to remain, and that's going to be the altar of incense, because that's praise. Now, praise is very easy. Let me say that again. Praise is very easy. All you've got to do is breathe. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you can breathe, you can praise. Amen. You don't have to be good to praise. You don't have to be saved to praise. Amen. You can just praise anyway. If you got breath, you can praise. Amen. Now, worship's a little deeper than that. Worship calls for a sacrifice. If you're going to worship God, you've got to give something. It calls for more. Anybody can praise the Lord. Amen. But when we begin to worship God, it's going to cost. But when you become a worshiper of the Lord, you love paying the price. Because you know that whatever the price is, it's worth it. You can't worship the Lord without some knowledge. And the more you worship God, the more knowledge you will gain. And so folks are saying the praise is there. I love this next verse. Verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. The 5th chapter, one preceding this. I believe it was 6 times in the 5th chapter. He said, woe is them. 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 But now it's, woe is me. Amen. When you get in the presence of the Lord, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so he begins to see himself. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Everybody say, live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. I want to show you something here. Amen. This coal was something that was too hot for the angel to handle. He had to get some tongs to get it. He said, I ain't touching that. So he reached over and he got some tongs and he picked it up. And he flew down, amen, to where Isaiah was praying. And he reached out and he touched that live coal to his lips. Now it doesn't talk about burning him. It doesn't say anything about hurting him. Amen. But as soon as that live coal touched his lips, his lips were loosed. Amen. He was cleansed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. There's some things in this life that are too great for angels to handle. And one of them is ghost. The Bible said that the angels desire to look into this. It's not for them. It's for us. But they want to look into it. They'd love to have it. Now, I've often thought about that. Amen. I heard this story. I can't verify it because I didn't see it. But the person that gave the testimony, the Lord let them see some angels in the church building. And I believe they're angels that come to church. Amen. And so angels had come to church and they were watching the people worship. And they were just lined up against the walls on both sides of the church. People worshiping the Lord. He said, and then the altar call was given, and he watched the angels as they gathered around the altar. And when people began to repent of their sins, angels got real close to them. And when they began to speak with tongues, that was as if their face was filled with wonder. It was like, wow, he did it again. Amen. I can believe that. Amen. God saved the Holy Ghost for us. Angels don't get the Holy Ghost. I said, angels don't receive the Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. You can have something God reserved for us, not for us. Amen. And so he said, the seraphim came down, touched his lips, and as soon as that happened, he said, I heard a voice. Everybody said, I heard a voice. The Lord said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then said I, here am I. Send me. Amen. When the Lord touches you, he prepares you for ministry. To do something. God doesn't save us just to sit around waiting for the rapture. Could I say that one more time? I said, God does not save us just so we can sit around waiting for the rapture. But God sends us so we can go. And he said, who will go? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. And anybody feel like that tonight? Anybody want to do some going? Anybody want to do some witnessing? Anybody want to do some praising? Anybody want to do some testifying? Anybody want to do some preaching? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to hurry through. I'm really through. Amen. That was page one. I got four more to go and we'll be finished. Amen. Not really. I'm going to get through quicker than that because you'll be through for then. I love Matthew 17, verse 1 through 7. The Bible said that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. And while he was there, the scripture said he was transfigured before them. Amen. He began to shine. His face shone as the sun and went white as light. And then there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. Well, you talk about a sight. Isn't that amazing? One thing I love about this story is the fact that Moses didn't get to go in the promised land. Remember that? The Lord took him up to the mountain and he showed him all the sights. Amen. And then he died and God preached his funeral and buried him. But he didn't make it to the promised land until now. But he did make it, didn't he? Because Jesus was standing in the promised land. And Moses appeared with him on that mountain. As well as Elijah. And there he stood talking to them. And Peter and John, boy, they got all excited. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. You ever felt like that? Woo! Get in the middle of a good service and say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Amen. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Disciples heard it, they fell on their face. They were sore afraid. Amen. You see, that's the glory of God. There's something about the Word of God that is powerful. If you think God's presence is powerful, His Word is powerful. We need to get a hold of that tonight. We need to be like the centurion that came to Jesus. The centurion came to Jesus and he said, Lord, my servant is sick. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion said, no. I don't need you to come to my house. I'm unworthy that you should. He said, if you will just speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, my servant will be healed. He had as much faith in the word of God as he did in the presence of God. And some of us need to learn that lesson. Because sometimes if we don't feel the presence of God, we begin to lose faith. Shake your head like this right here. If we don't feel the presence of God, we begin to lose faith. But hear me tonight. You won't always feel the presence of God, but you can always have the Word of God. And when the presence of God, you can stand steadfast on the Word of God. Because he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You can have faith in the word of God whether you feel the presence of the Lord or not. Amen. So God's word is powerful. Amen. This Bible said, Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it said, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, it is the power of God. You know what God's power is? It's his word. You know, this is something that kind of troubles me sometimes. Some people can shout when we're singing, but they can't shout when we're preaching. Some people can shout when we're praying, but they can't shout when we're preaching. And I find in the nation that it said that singing is the power of God. It doesn't even say that praying is the power of God, but it does say that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So we ought to feel the power of God and get excited about the Word of God more than we do about the singing or the praying or anything else, because this is the power of God unto salvation. It said, for God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't choose singing. He didn't choose praying. He didn't even choose praising. But he chose preaching. Amen. There's something powerful in preaching tonight. Amen. And so the voice of the Lord did what his presence couldn't do. It knocked them to their knees. The Bible said that Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9, verse 1 through 6, was on his road to Damascus. And as he journeyed, suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Hallelujah. That answered that question. That You want to know who the Lord is? He's Jesus. Isn't that what he said? Amen. What do you think the old white-haired father sitting on the throne was thinking while Junior's over there saying, "I'm the Lord"? What do you think the dove flying around was thinking while he said, "I'm the Lord"? Amen. If there was some kind of a arrangement up there, it might have got out of hand. But it didn't. I think I read the Lord said that he wouldn't share his glory with another. So if there's any other Lord than Jesus, amen, he'd have to share his glory. But he doesn't have to share his glory because Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's God, the only God, manifest in flesh on the only throne that God sits upon. The only throne in heaven. And so he said, "I'm Jesus." Now, this is a sticky part. He said, "Whom thou persecutest." How did Saul persecute Jesus? Jesus was already crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified. So how in the world was Saul persecuting Jesus? Jesus said, "If you do it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you do it unto me." Now, do we believe that? Then we need to change the way we talk about one another. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's right. Huh? You start talking bad about your brothers and sisters, you know who you're talking about? You know what he said? Amen. You get mad and upset and you want to tear down your brothers and sisters, you better be careful. The Bible said that the church is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. You talk bad about his body and you talk bad about his bride, he's going to be upset with you. Amen. You like people talking about your body? Amen. I was at Bible college. One young man came up and he said, "Brother Grissom," he said, "I noticed," he said, "you're losing weight, aren't you?" I said, "I'm trying to." He said, you got the body of a god." I said, "Huh?" He said, "Buddha." I said, "All right, young man. Amen. The pen is mightier than the sword. And I'm going to give you a grade one of these days." Amen. But you start talking bad about his body, you want to get in trouble with him. You start talking bad about his bride, you're going to get in trouble with him. We need to be careful how we treat one another. Amen. Because it's not just people. This is the body and the bride of Christ right here. And boy, I wish that would sink in tonight real good. And I hope you never forget what I just said. And the next time you're tempted to give somebody a piece of your mind that you could ill afford to lose, you think about what I just said. You need to stop and think, "Uh-oh, do I really want to tangle with the Lord today? Or have I got enough on my plate already?" It might be some of the stuff you're going through is just because of that. Mm-hmm. Boy, I wish I had time to finish that, but I don't. Amen. I'm just saying this. Sometimes you get to criticizing people, and the Lord's going to let you go through the same thing. And you're going to say, "God, why has this happened to me?" Well, you've been talking about some other people. And you didn't have compassion when they went through it. You were talking about how you didn't understand how anybody, huh? And he said, "Well, I'll just show you how then." We might just save ourselves some trouble if we just learn how to control that little red devil behind the pearly white gates. Amen. I'm getting there. I really am. So Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." And when he got through, the Lord said, Saul said, "What will you have me to do?" I like that. You know, Paul was not a bad man. He really did love God. He just didn't know who God was. But as soon as he found out who the Lord was, he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And he did it. He never backed up. That's it. That's all I got. Amen for that. And I'm going to close with this one. Amen. John said, "I was in the Spirit of the Lord's days on the Isle of Patmos." Remember? He's cast out on an island, so he can't preach to anybody. Amen. They can't boil him. The lions won't eat him. He's been nothing but trouble. So they put him out on an island where at least he can't bother anybody else. And John said, "But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Woo! He was having a prayer meeting. He was having a praise meeting. He was worshiping the Lord. And the Bible said the Lord began to appear to him. And this is an awesome message I love to preach. And he saw the Lord. Amen. He said, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Now, those represented the churches. "And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." In other words, the Lord was in the middle of churches. You want to find the Lord? Go to church. He's in the middle of His church. Now, the church is not these four walls. The church is the flesh and blood sitting on these pews. So wherever you are, people can find God. If you're at Walmart, they can find the Lord at Walmart. Amen. They can find on your job. If you're in the school, they can find the Lord in the school. Amen. Wherever you, if you're on vacation, they can find the Lord on vacation. Where you are, people can find the Lord, because the Lord's in the midst of His church. That's us. Amen. And in the midst of the, it said his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire like fine brass. As they burned in the furnace, his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now this was many, many years. John had, it probably had been 60 years since he saw the Lord. Last time he saw him, he was ascending into heaven. Amen. What a sight. And then on the Isle of Patmos, about 60 years later, he sees him again. And he says, "Wow." And he falls at his feet as if he's dead. He said, he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, the first and the last." Amen. "I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter." That's God's glory. That's what we're to seek after. Not our glory, but His glory. Not His glory for us, but His glory because it's His glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time here tonight. I know that we've been lengthy, but I thank you for staying with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. His presence and His glory. His presence and His glory. Amen. His presence and His glory. I love the presence of the Lord. And I love the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I never want to become used to the presence of God. I never want to get so accustomed to the presence of God that I fail to recognize its uniqueness, its beauty, and stand in awe. I never want to get to the place where Jacob was when he said the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. But I want spiritual sensitivity so that at any place, at any time, I can recognize the presence of the Lord. And stop a moment and just entertain His presence. No matter what I'm doing, no matter what's going on wherever I am, if I'm driving down the highway and I feel His presence, I want to stop and recognize that. Acknowledge that. Amen. If you're working on your job and you feel it, it's okay. Just to let a little hallelujah come out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joining me here on the job today. Amen. If you feel Him in the school, you're just sitting there at your desk and all of a sudden you feel the presence of the Lord. Just, it's okay just to say thank you. Thank you for letting me know that you're here with me today. The presence of God is awesome. Wherever He is, just to recognize Him. Just to recognize Him. It's awesome. Amen. When I was at Bible college, my roommate took a trip one weekend to see his brother, and he had a horrible accident. His car was totally demolished. When he got back, he was telling me the story. He said when I left Houston, he said, I set my Bible in the seat and I said, Lord, I want you to come and ride with me on this trip. I'm going to talk to you, and I want you just to talk with me. And I set my Bible in the seat. Somewhere on that journey, he had a collision with an 18-wheeler. And his car was just smashed. And in a little while, the truck driver came. Looking, the truck driver wasn't injured. He come looking and he kept asking. He said, where was the driver of this car? And my friend was standing there, and he said, where's the driver of this car? And Bobby said, Bobby Clark, not Bobby Hart. Bobby Clark said, I was the driver of the car. The truck driver said, you couldn't be. He said, nobody could get out of that. And he said, I don't know how I got out of there. I don't know how I got out of there. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, that's the presence of God that goes with you. I don't know how he got out of there either. Amen. Maybe he opened the door. Maybe he got out before it hit. I don't know how he got out, but he got out. And he's still living the day. Hallelujah. Still serving the Lord today. Still feeling the presence of the Lord today. Amen. God's presence is awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Amen. I think it'd be good for us to entertain His presence here. For just a moment, let's thank God, shall we? Would you do that with the most sincere gratitude that you can stir in your heart tonight? Let's just give God thanks for His presence and for His glory. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your presence. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your glory. It's awesome. It's beyond anything this world could offer. There's not a song that can match it. There's not a scene that can match it. There's not a piece of gold or a piece of jewelry or a gem that can match it. There's nothing in this world. There's not a bank account. There's not a mansion. There's not a fine automobile that can match it. There's not a person that can match it. There's not a position or a place that can match it. Your presence is absolutely matchless. It's awesome.
I can't go.
It's indescribable. It's inconceivable. I thank you today for the powerful, beautiful, abiding presence of God. And how awesome that I can entertain the presence of the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Calvary's Savior and sacrifice. Just any time I want to. Amen. I begin to worship. I begin to praise.
Show
your presence
me
is
your
revealed.
Glory.
I thank you tonight, Jesus. You're awesome and incredible.
Signs about you.
Amen. And I want you to know I love you. I need you.
I can't go on without you,
Lord. I need you more than the air I breathe.
Show me
thank you,
your
mighty
glory.
God. Thank you, mighty God.
Down
amen. That's all right. Just enjoy His presence. Nothing in the world like this. Hallelujah.
Show me your glory.
Oh, I thank you tonight.
Your
Jesus.
Majesty shines about you. I can't go on without you, Lord. Show me your glory. I want to see your face.
I'm undeserving, but you're deserving.
Show me your
holy,
glory,
holy,
Lord.
Holy,
your majesty shines about you.
Amen.
I can't go on without
hallelujah.
You, Lord.
The whole earth is full of your glory.
Show me your glory.
The whole earth is full
Lord.
Of your glory.
Down your
because
power.
Your glory is here.
I want to see
there's victory
your face.
On every hand. Oh, in the middle
show
of every
me
trial.
Your glory.
In the middle of every difficulty. Every tribulation.
Majesty shines about
task.
You.
Lord,
I
there's
can't
a presence.
Go
and there's a glory. There's a presence. And there's a glory.
Show
oh,
me
hallelujah.
Your glory.
Be glorified in us tonight, Jesus.
Send down
be glorified
your
in
power.
Us.
I
on
wanna
our jobs,
see
in our homes,
face.
In our schools, in the marketplace, in our families.
Show me your glory.
Be glorified in us. Be glorified.
Your majesty
be glorified.
Shines
be glorified.
About you.
Be glorified.
I can't
be glorified.
Go on
be glorified.
Without you, show me your glory. Send down your power. I want to see your face.
Yes.
Show me your glory. Your majesty shines about you. I can't go on without you, Lord. Show me your glory. Send down your power. I want to see your face. Show me your glory. Oh, majesty shines about you. I can't go on without you, Lord. Show me your glory. Send down your power. I want to see your face. Show me your glory, Lord. Majesty shines about you. I can go on. Show me your glory. Send down your power. I wanna see your face. Show me your glory. Majesty shines about you. I can't go on without you, Lord. Show me your glory. Send down your power. I wanna see your face. Show me your glory. Majesty shines about you. I can't go on without you, Lord. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you.
Back to you.
Help me know you.